好，唔该。咁跟住我哋落去咧，就议程项目第三项啦，就系、是、考虑呢一张长沙湾分区计划大纲草图嘅申述嘅咁样。咁睇下有咩利益申报。
系冇利益申报要报告嘅，唔该。
好，欢迎規劃處嘅同事啦，同埋我哋嘅申述人 Miss Mary 出席今日嗰個會議啦。咁我花少少時間咧講一講嗰個流程先。咁咧一陣咧，我會先邀請咧規劃處嘅代表咧簡介申述嘅內容嘅。咁佢哋完成咗個簡介咧，咁我就邀請 Miss Mary 啦，咁作個口頭陳述啦。咁有十分鐘嘅時間啦，我哋會有個提示器有個計時器咧去提醒嗰、那個。申述人嗰个时间嘅，咁喺 Miss Mary 咧完成咗个口头陈述之后咧，我哋就有个答问嘅环节。咁咧，跟住委员咧就可以向规划处嘅代表啦，或者 Miss Mary 咧去提出问题嘅。咁完成咗呢个答问之后咧，咁我就会邀请大家离开会议嘅场地啦。咁我哋城规会嘅委员咧就会进行一个内部嘅讨论。咁我哋亦都会适时咧。通知大家咧就城规会嗰个决定嘅，咁我先请规划处嘅代表。
好，多谢主席。好，各位委员早晨。咁今日咧，我会就住长沙湾分区计划大纲草图编号 SK540入面收到嘅申述咧，同埋一啲相关考虑咧，做一个简单嘅介绍嘅。好，咁喺讲述申述嘅内容之前咧，咁容许我都先简单介绍一下，即系呢个大纲图修订一啲背景资料。咁今次相关申述嘅用地咧，主要咧系关于先前啦，长沙湾大纲草图修订项目A， 咁即系如我哋右图所示蓝色个位置咧，就系将长沙湾青山道412-420号嘅一块用地咧，由其他指定用途著名酒店地带咧，改划为商业户五地带嘅。咁而当时嘅修正咧，亦都将建筑物嘅高度限制咧，由主水平基准上84米修订为100米，以及咧系戒除咗其他指定用途著名酒店地带嘅一啲相关嘅注释嘅。好，咁关于项目 A 呢个修订咧，其实咧主要系反映咗咧先前咧都会规划小组委员会啦，喺2024年2月26号同意嘅一个第12A条规划申请编号 YK53 嘅，咁就系将好似头先我咁讲啦，将先前嘅其他指定用途著名酒店嘅地带咧改划为呢一个嘅商业库五地带。咁當中亦都會採用翻而家商業五地帶嘅一啲發展限制啦，即係最高嘅地積比率為12倍，咁而建築物嘅高度咧為主水平基準上嘅100米，以及咧係不得超過咧現有建築物嘅地積比率及或者高度嘅。咁喺周邊環境方面咧，正如我哋右邊呢張圖睇到啦，咁其實新述嘅用地咧係坐落喺一個混合住一啲商業發展嘅一個住宅區入面嘅，咁而當中咧亦都夾雜咗唔少嘅一啲政府啦、機構啦或者社區設施嘅。咁而附近嘅一啲住宅群咧，主要都係一啲中高層嘅建築。咁而我哋睇到好多地鋪上面咧，其實亦都有或者低層嘅地鋪咧，都有唔少商業或者零售用途嘅。咁我哋圖中見到啦，其實西南邊嘅呢個商業三同埋商業五地帶咧，現時咧亦都有一啲商業樓宇嘅發展嘅。咁而喺項目嘅西邊咧，其實呢個位置啦，咁其實亦都係鄰近呢個長沙灣商貿區一帶嘅。好。咁講下而家嗰個用地嘅情況啦。咁其實咧，新述嘅用地咧，而家係一棟於1983年咧落成嘅一個商業辦公室樓宇嚟嘅。咁正如我哋下右邊呢個表睇到啦，咁其實就而家個地積比率咧係約14.99倍啦。咁而建築物嘅高度咧為主水平基準上嘅84米嘅。咁我哋都如右邊呢兩張新述圖片可以睇到啦。咁其實而家嘅大廈低層咧，都是做一些商店用途，而上面楼上四楼楼上都是做一些办公室的用途的。咁呢個新述用地咧，其實喺2010年咧已經改劃為呢一個其他指定用途啦，著名酒店嘅地帶嘅。咁主要都係反映翻咧同一個申請人咧喺提交修訂圖則申請嘅一個 YK51 嘅一個建議。咁但係咧，至今咧其實申請人咧係亦都冇落實到之前嘅相關嘅酒店發展嘅。 咁亦都睇一睇啦，喺先前嘅其他指定用途著名酒店地带上面咧，其实只有酒店系一个经常准许嘅用途。咁亦都系不得咧进行食肆啦、商店及服务行业啦等等嘅一啲商业用途嘅。咁亦都不得咧系以现有嘅建筑物嘅地积比率咧系进行发展嘅。好，咁至於關於先前咧，頭先提到嘅第十二 A 條規劃申請 YK53 嘅一個擬議概念性嘅方案咧，咁其實當時咧提到呢個方案之中咧，大廈將佢重建咧成為一個樓高約25层嘅一個商業樓宇啦，地積比率咧係定為12倍嘅，而總樓面面積咧係6220平方米。咁而當時嘅建築物高度咧，亦都係定到為不超過主水平基準上100米嘅。咁喺樓層用途方面咧，即係我哋正如呢個 section 都會望到啦。咁其實喺第3层咧，其實就會作為一個停車場啦，一個地庫嘅停車場啦。咁而地面咧至到2楼咧，其實就會作一個商店同埋食肆嘅用途嘅。而3楼作咗平台花园啦，以至到5楼楼上咧，其实就会用作一啲办公室嘅用途嘅。咁而当时喺嗰个 YK53 嘅申请之中咧，其实申请人咧亦都有提交翻啲相关嘅一啲技术评估嘅报告啦，咁证明擬議嘅改划啦，甚至乎包括重建至到現有地積比率嘅情况咧，即係頭先提到嘅 14.99 嘅情况咧，喺技术上都係可行嘅。好。咁咧，跟住咧，我哋了解咗呢個修訂嘅背景之後咧，咁我哋都睇睇今次長沙灣大港草圖啦，喺我哋申述展示嘅期間咧，咁其實總共咧係收到一份有效嘅申述嘅，咁啊 R1 咁樣，咁主要咧係反對我哋呢個修訂嘅項目 A 嘅。咁接下來咧，我會講一講咧，即係反對申述嘅一啲主要理由同埋意見啦，以及我哋喺徵詢咗相關政策局或者部門嘅一啲回應嘅。咁首先第一啦，呢個反對申述咧就認為用地咧係應該保留作翻原本嘅其他指定用途，著名酒店地帶，以滿足咧可能係當前咧對譬如學生宿舍或者一啲服務式住宅嘅一啲需求嘅。咁或者咧亦都可以考慮咧按照即係現時嗰個經濟環境同埋狀況咧，改劃為一個住宅甲類嘅地帶。咁就住呢一個意見咧，我哋都有幾點回應嘅。咁首先，項目 A 咧，我哋主要都係好似頭先所講啦，反映翻都會規劃小組委員會咧同意嘅一個第12A条嘅一個規劃申請編號 YK53。咁咧呢個申請咧，其實係有助申請人喺重建佢現時嗰個商業辦公室樓宇底下咧，可以提供到一啲更大嘅彈性咧，以作一啲更加廣泛嘅一啲商業用途嘅。咁亦都同時可以增加翻地區活力啦，並滿足到咧市場啦同埋地區嘅一啲需要嘅。咁而申述提到啦，關於一啲學生宿舍啦，同埋酒店式設施住宅嘅方便啦。咁其實喺政府政策支持下面一啲學生宿舍，以及咧酒店式副服務設施嘅住宅咧，亦都屬於酒店用途。咁喺商業地帶上面咧，其實係經常准許嘅用途嚟嘅。咁而至於分層住宅咧，咁其實喺呢個商業地帶上面咧，亦都係屬於第二欄嘅用途。咁如果有需要嘅話咧，其實申請人咧亦都可以咧係按照翻城市規劃條例第16条咧提出翻相關嘅申請嘅，咁亦都有機制嘅。咁第二啦，就係個申述咧都提到啦。咁雖然個用地係面積細，同埋嗰個增加建築物個高度個影響應該唔大嘅。咁但係用地改劃之後咧，就冇一個可以落實發展嘅時間表啦，或者期限咧提供到。咁而當中咧，可能向社區提供嘅啲服務或者設施咧，可能會因此咧有所延誤嘅。咁就住呢個意見咧，咁我哋有以下嘅回應嘅。咁而家用地咧，其實現時都係一個商業或者辦公室用途咯。咁喺呢個其他指定用途著名酒店嘅地帶上面咧，其實只有酒店咧係經常准許嘅用途。咁用地改劃咗為商業5地帶之後咧，其實咧係可以用作更加廣泛嘅商業用途啦。咁其實係為未來重建啦，同埋改變現時樓宇嘅用途咧，可以提供翻咧更加大嘅彈性嘅。咁而至於講緊重建計劃嘅一啲落實嘅時間咧，其實都係會由翻申請人咧係自行決定。 咁第三啦，就係新述咧都有提到，雖然咧商業五嘅地帶嘅一個建築物高度咧係有所增加啦，並容許作多種嘅用途。咁但係咧用地咧係冇提供一啲政府機構或者社區嘅設施嘅，咁而亦都冇提供到相關設施一啲供應嘅資料。咁就住呢一個意見咧，我哋都有以下嘅回應嘅。咁首先啦，項目 A 咧，今次由依個改劃咧為一個商業五嘅地帶咧，其實當中咧係並不涉及一啲新增人口嘅，咁因此咧其實係唔會影響到區內啦對一啲社區設施嘅一啲需求嘅。咁而喺商業地帶上面咧，其實譬如一啲社會福利設施嘅一啲用途咧，其實咧亦都係屬於經常准許嘅用途。咁至於深水埗區內一啲即係政府機構社區設施嘅一啲整體供應方面咧，咁我都睇過咧，其實區內咧大部分嘅呢啲咁嘅設施咧，其實咧亦都可以滿足到香港規劃標準與準則嘅一啲要求嘅。咁雖然啦，可能當中有部分嘅設施咧嘅供應係會有短缺啦，咁但係呢啲設施咧所定嘅標準咧，其實亦都大部分都屬於一啲譬如長遠嘅目標啦。咁而且咧係按照一啲比較大嘅範圍啦，或者以區域或者聯網等等嘅一啲基礎咧係作出評估嘅。咁而我哋都問過咧相關嘅政府政策局啦，或者部門啦，喺規劃呢啲咁嘅設施嘅時候咧，亦都會審慎咁樣考慮同埋檢討咧有關呢啲設施嘅供應嘅。咁基於咧我哋啱啱提到嘅一啲評估同埋考慮啦，咁我哋規劃署咧係不支持呢一個新述 R1 嘅。咁亦都認為咧，不應該咧順應呢個新述而修訂咧相關嘅分區計劃大綱圖。咁啊，我嘅簡介去到呢度，多謝。
好，Miss Mary, over to you, please.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Strangely, I haven't received any little hint that I'm too old and I should retire, like the LegCo members. You know, Am I to look forward to that, or are we exempt on this side of the bench? I don't know. Maybe there's still hope for us elderly that we can play a role in society, as we definitely are not going to be able to do anything when it comes to LegCo, and obviously district councils will follow the same track. So I'll take advantage of the fact that I'm still allowed to voice out. Now, my comments were read out, and the responses I suggested rezoning it back to the original residential A in tune with the current climate response was that these facilities could be provided under the C zone. But I find this quite troubling because it ignores the fact that the PR and site coverage are not desirable for a development to be used for any form of residential. So we have lines being crossed here. It doesn't appear anymore that we have, you know, everything is getting kind of for expediency is all the reasons why we had certain things like the plot ratios and site coverages are now being abandoned in order to provide these hostels and what have you. But people live in hostels. So, and in service apartments. So basically they should be come under the same kind of criteria as residential regarding space and not being close to other people and all that sort of stuff. And this also applies to the GIC facilities. On one hand, Plan D points out that student hostels and service apartments can be developed under the zoning, but ignores the fact that these facilities do have an impact on the supply of community services in a district. So if you're going to get like 500 students into a neighbourhood, they are definitely going to be using community services of one form or another, medical and what have you, recreational, certainly. And this sort of ambiguity that's now been increasingly introduced is a matter of concern with regard to the quality of life, because we were told that the whole focus was to improve the quality of life. Now, I had... Actually, the item, the major grounds number two was actually a general kind of initiative on my part. I hope that because there wasn't much to say about this particular application, that again I bring up the issue of these Section 12 not having a specific fixed expiry date as the 16A does, and are not subject to a separate expiry. Development plans always purport to be in the interest of the community, the economy, and in line with government policy. Now, normally under the Section 16, deadlines 3 or 5 years. If the operation is not launched within the time, the applicant has to submit a fresh application. Now, this provides the opportunity for the intention to be viewed in light of current circumstances and prevailing economic conditions. But as I said, these OZP, Section 12, have no deadlines. Developments that are touted to be addressing particular issues may or may not be constructed. The public is not able to distinguish just how much of the planned provision of community facilities listed on the district HKPSG are related to the suspended developments. So we don't know if they're included, not included, and if they don't go ahead, how that impacts the provision of community services. Now, this might not have had much significance previously, but now with the one-site multi-use formula, many private developments include a quota of community facilities. When these are not delivered, then there's certainly a negative impact on the community as the provision of services can be delayed for many years. And I ask that members now seek a review to consider if the open-ended format is desirable and if there should be a timeline placed on developments approved under Section 12 and OZP. When a number of plans are improved, the resulting changes in zoning in a district do not materialise, then the OZB profile of the district is artificial and it's not compatible with the real situation on the ground. And I suggested that you request data on the number of approved OZP amendments for developments that have not been executed, district zoning, size of site and the type of development approved. And this would provide us with some data and highlight areas in which desirable facilities are not being materialised and how this shortfall can be addressed. Now, the only response to this in the paper was to say that the implementation time frame for any redevelopment would be subject to the applicant's initiative. So basically, you know, forget about it. I don't think this is acceptable. The administration keeps insisting on the need to streamline the system. It avoids the most efficient measure to expedite development, rezoned to reflect actual use. Now, there are many lots zoned agriculture and recreation that have been used for logistics, etc., for decades, and they should be rezoned. Most OZPs bear no relationship to actual land use. And you can see this from the aerial maps. You look at the OZP map and there's a lot of green and all the other sort of stuff and recreation. And then you look at the Google map, you know. It's like you're looking at a different territory. And then we have the Category 2 designation. Does anyone believe these lots can ever be used for farming again? The Category 1 to 4 is a joke, as the minutes underline. Now, I was quite... When I read the minutes of the rural meeting on the 21 of June 2024, when one member actually questioned the Town Planning Board, Plan D, recommending that open storage be on a Category 3. Okay, he was concerned, or she was concerned about this matter. And then it went on to discuss it. And basically, the... issue was, they said that if it got a sympathetic consideration from a bureau, then that was okay la. So basically, what was the point of doing the Category 1 to 4 in the first place? Two members expressed support, expressed support to the provision of sympathetic consideration, as this would facilitate the proper relocation of affected brownfield operations via the planning application mechanism. Jaw-dropping. The whole idea, we were told, of this 1 to 4 was to clearly define where certain kinds of activities could take place. The intention of the categories, we were told, was guidelines, the intention of updating the town planning guidelines 13G is primarily to expand the areas where open storage and port backup uses can be considered, specifically by increasing the number of sites classified as Category 2. Fine, if we need them, yeah. This expansion is necessary to accommodate the displacement of brownfield sites from major government development projects and to provide a way for these effective industries to be relocated and create a pathway for underlying relocation in an organised manner. This indicates that the operations should be contained in certain districts, but no sooner had these guidelines been approved than they were rendered completely void by the sympathetic consideration. And then we have the recent judicial review on the village houses. So now the court has overturned the insularity of the V-zones. The court ruling indicates that a review of the V-zone is long overdue in view of the many S16 applications for parking, shops and services, etc. on V-zoning. It is clear that far too much land has been allocated in some districts and greatly exceeds legitimate and genuine demand for the net houses. If the current operations in a district are efficient land use and acceptable to the community, then the zoning should reflect this. This would eliminate all the time and paperwork involved in STTs and TBB applications. It would also provide the security of tenure that would encourage operators to invest in their premises as a long-term opportunity. So, members, I hope that you will ask for that we have a more realistic focus in our OZP, and the focus is on what the land has been used for, what the possible use of it is in the future, and that the OZP reflects exactly what is on the ground and what should be there, not this image. Okay? So I think that's it for me. I hope that you've read their judicial review, have you? All 86 points on there's the number there for anyone who's interested. Okay, thank you.
好，咁而家我哋開始個答問環節啦。咁睇下委員有冇咩提問？係阿寶善，跟住阿Daniel鐘，係。
多謝主席。我有兩個問題嘅。第一個問題就係，請問而家呢個地盤咧，佢本身有一棟建築物喺度噶。咁請問而家嗰個使用嘅狀況，或者你哋會唔會有一啲資料可以俾即係委員參考啦？第一個問題。第二個問題咧就係我頭先剛才見到咧，就係而家嗰棟大廈咧，其實佢嗰個 port ratio 咧去到 14.99 嘅。咁而家嗰個 port ratio 嘅限制咧就去到12。咁我唔知有冇聽錯，就係、是、如果佢重建嘅時候咧，佢應該係只可以去到12，就唔可以去翻而家嗰個 existing 嗰個 port ratio。我唔知有冇聽錯嚇。咁同埋裏邊似乎個 minor recession clause 係唔 apply 嘅，亦都。即係咪唔可以嘅？咁我想了解一下，究竟即係係咪個 port ratio 根據嗰個申請人佢嗰、那個提供嗰個 indicative scheme 都係去到 port ratio 12啊？定係佢仍然係可以去到而家已經有嗰個 14.99 嘅 port ratio 咧？我想了解，我唔知道有冇誤會咗啊？唔該曬，多謝主席。
好啊，多謝委員嘅提問。就住第一個問題咧，其實我哋都有出過去現場去睇咧。咁喺嗰個平台嗰三層平台啦，同埋地下咧，其實基本上係空置嘅，除咗一個好細嘅一個單位係做緊啲入閉式嘅嗰種洗衣用途之外，上面嘅樓層咧，其實而家即係睇個水牌咧，其實都空置率都比較高嘅嚇。不過有嘅現有用途咧，就係一啲譬如補習社啊，或者一啲好細嘅一啲工作室啊咁樣嚇。咁就住第二個問題咧，其實我哋喺嗰個大綱圖就住嗰、那個商業地帶嗰個註釋嗰度咧，其實我哋咧會尊重翻嗰、那個現有嗰、那個發展嗰個容量嘅，咁所以即係日後佢重建咧都可以去跟翻佢而家呢個 14.999 呢個狀態嚇。
好，跟住 Daniel，
多謝主席。就正話咧，就申述人咧提出咗有一點咧，就係話 如果将来呢一度改划咗，咁相关嘅业主佢譬如话起咗系一啲嘅学生宿舍，咁呢入住呢啲学生宿舍嗰啲嘅人或者学生呢，佢哋都会用到区内嘅啲社区设施嘅。咁但係正话呢喺专员嘅简介里面呢，就话呢个改划呢就唔会构成呢增加咗即係人口，咁所以呢就对于社区设施嘅需要呢就唔会增加到嘅。咁或者我想请专员呢解释俾新竹人听，即係点解即係喺咁嘅情况底下呢是没有新的社区设施的需求。唔该。
好，多谢委员的提问。咁呢张投影片睇到啦，我哋以个区议会个分界去睇呢，其实而家有五样嘅设施呢係短缺嘅。咁其实如果呢个地盤日后真係做呢、这个学生宿舍嘅话呢，其实睇返呢度呢有某一啲设施呢，其实佢哋未必真係有一个真正嘅需要嘅，即係譬如啲安老院舍等等。咁但係好似正如我同事嘅简介咁讲啦，其实我哋喺近期更新咗嘅嗰个规划标准与准则嘅话呢，其实係一个长远嘅目标，亦都係一个提升咗嘅目标。咁我哋长远都係会透过公私型嘅项目呢，尽量去多管齐下去提供呢啲咁嘅设施。咁不過亦都容許我去講一點咧，就係其實近期政府咧都提出咗一個叫做購置處所去提供呢個福利設施嘅呢個計劃嘅。咁即係當時係承諾咗有200億啦，而家係去到50億，咁其實仲係有幾十億嘅錢可以用嘅。咁日後若果真係社署啊或者其他部門係覺得有需要喺呢個地盤嗰度去提供呢啲社福設施嘅咧，其實都有呢個途徑咁去做。咁我哋今日即係小組委員會同意咗個改劃咧，其實正正就係將呢個地盤嘅用途去拓闊，令到社福設施用途咧係歸納咗喺第一欄嘅用途嗰度，令到呢一個可能性咧係延續落去嘅嚇。
不過咧，正話咧嗰個重點咧，新竹人嘅重點咧就係話如果做咗呢個嘅學生宿舍咧，對個需求嗰度係增加咗。咁但係專員嘅簡介就話唔會增加咗嗰個人口，咁所以咧，就對於社福設施嗰個需求咧，就唔會增加咗。我想請阿專員解釋呢一點嘅，該。
多謝委員的提問。其實我同事的簡介呢是建基於呢申請人呢他那個目標，他提供了一個 notional scheme， 一個示意的他的發展的情況。咁根據那個情況呢，他其實是主力是想做一個寫字樓的用途，就好似呢張投影片上面所講，他是希望做一個寫字樓同埋一啲商鋪的用途。咁所以我同事的簡介就是話，唔按住呢一個他個示意的性質呢，就唔會有一啲人口的增長。
我想咧，即使依个商厦啦，即系佢日后如果真系改装做一个学生宿舍嘅话咧，咁嗱，依个系市场行为啦，私人主导啦。咁我哋而家喺市场见到嘅一啲学生宿舍咧，佢唔单止净系俾宿位嘅，其实佢都会有个配套设施，针对翻入住依一班咧嘅青年人啦，佢可能需要一啲自修室啊，可能需要一啲健身房啊，依啲咁嘅设施咧，佢哋都会咧喺翻咧嗰个学生宿舍咧度提供嘅。咁其他委员有冇咩提问？好，如果冇嘅话，多谢晒专员，多谢晒 Miss Mary。